Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Welcome to the Monday of one of the most significant weeks in Bay Area sports history. Along with Dan Dibley and John Dickinson today, I'm Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason. Thank you for being with us. As we gear up for the NBA Draft Thursday, the MLB Trade Deadline Friday, 49er Camp opening this weekend, and then NBA Free Agency next week. It's like a bonanza of sports this week. It all happens in a six-day span. It all happens here, the bonanza brought to you by Pacific Catch, sustainable seafood, West Coast style. But Dibs, how busy do you think the Dubs and Giants are going to be this week? How soon before things start popping, baby?
It's not that busy, man, as I go for my early Sutcliffe here. I'll take two crides to open, and man, it's an unbelievable bonanza. It's for Spadoni. Believable! Anytime I do my Tim Roy and stop after the Spadoni gets like all itchy and all agitated. Anxious, because, yeah, his OCD, but it is unbelievable, and for me personally, it's like a total full circle with the station's 10-year anniversary coming up, and my original radio brother, not you, no, Kev, not you, but John Dickinson, my original radio partner, and then you as well. It's making me feel like 10 years ago, JD. What up, my brother?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Good to be with you as always. Man, a lot of fun. Tons going on. It feels like we're turning the clock back this morning to about, 2014?
Man. Seriously.
Yeah.
I love the young people.
Before Dibs and Mark Kreidler and I were holding down mornings, Dibs and JD did a show with British golf legend Colin Montgomery. That was actually the original three guys on the station, right?
Wow.
Kind of a pre-launch. Do I have that right?
No, I thought it was Monty Burns, as Luck would remember it. Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on. Montgomery Burns is the way I remembered it.
But excellent.
Yes, thank you. Neither here nor there.
Right. Mr. Burns does not call his mother Mr. Burns.
We now have a clear idea, we think, of
what's going on here.
Warriors' options are, as this week they try to reassemble a championship-caliber team. We're going to get to that coming up in 10 minutes, Dibs. We'll get to that coming up in 10 minutes. But first, rough weekend for the Giants. Blame it on JD. He was there Saturday. JD, when you went to the Giants game Saturday, did you think you were going to see the pitching debut of Talkman?
I did not. That would have been at the bottom of the list. And I was actually out there Saturday and Sunday, but my goodness, the Pittsburgh Pirates, I mean, they turned into the 27 Yankees, apparently, this season against the Giants, winning the season series 4-3 against them, and really just putting a hurting on Kevin Gausman, Dibs, on Saturday. Second consecutive rough outing for Gausman.
It's a little bit of a cause for concern to me, just the way teams are going about beating him now. They're laying off the change and the splitter, and they're waiting for the fastball, which is good. It's not elite. It's great, but it is largely hittable. And you know, if Gausman starts to show a little bit of a fissure in the dam, then, you know, trickling down. And Alex Wood yesterday was great. And, you know, Cueto's been, you know, mediocre, as I borrow from Richard Sherman briefly. But in general, if Gausman is not the ace that he has been, maybe you start to look at the deadline here. 5 days away, guys, in this bonanza from the trade deadline.
By the way, I screwed up the Smithers line. It was Smithers to Homer saying, Mr. Burns' mother does not call him Mr. Burns. My apologies before.
Why'd he go to hell, man?
I know. That's an early a botch there by me. You know what? Gausman reminds me, Dibs and JD, right now, the way he's pitching, reminds me of Tim Lincecum. But not the good Tim. He reminds me of the bad Tim Lincecum. Remember when Tim Lincecum struggled so mightily and we were trying to figure out what's wrong? And one of the keys was that guys were just laying off some of his off-speed stuff. You got a lot of swings and misses on pitches that all of a sudden weren't as effective. And that's very similar to what's going on right now with Gausman.
Yeah, they're just spitting on the splitter. Yeah. They're not taking it, and it's a ball, and they're getting count leverage and waiting for a fastball to hit at this point. And you know, he talked about it after the ball game on Saturday. Just the location is off. He thinks there's a little bit of a mechanical tweak that he can make to maybe bring that splitter up a little bit to where it's not such an automatic take. But you look at the Giants coming off of the thrilling series, taking 3 of 4 at Dodger Stadium, really an opportunity to keep the momentum rolling against the Pirates, unable to do it. And now with the trade deadline looming, every day, and look, the Adam Frazier was pulled off the field yesterday in the eighth inning because he was going from the Pirates to the Padres, and there's all kinds of rumors swirling this morning, and the names that you hear are the Dodgers and the Padres looking to add. So the Giants dropping 2 out of 3, Dibs, and all of the rumors and all of the big names seemingly, at least in the conversation, are the two teams that are currently chasing the Giants.
And how much do you want to chase that and, you know, keep up with the Joneses, quote-unquote, at the expense, rather, of your own farm system, which is finally at a point where you've got four or five, maybe six guys who in the next 1 to 3 years are going to be legit major leaguers. So that ultimately, I think, is the calculus where Farhan right now with his adding machine and his green visor and his abacus, he's in there. That would have been where I love the young people, Spadoni, but you're off your game. And I get that on a Monday where you were trying to brush your 2-year-old's teeth, but we'll get to that and the real struggles out there. Forget Bonanza. It's teeth gate in the Spadoni household. But
McElroy was never a first round pick. Come on.
Yeah, that's on me. That's Michael Lombardi just came straight down my road, JD, 4-lane highway, and dunked on me. Yeah, it was awkward. But you look at this trade deadline, and if you're Farhan, you're thinking, well, we could still be a wild card team no matter what. So do I want to sell the farm to try to keep up with the Joneses, or do I stay the course, 1,000 points of light, stay the course?
Yeah, which brings us to this, and it's Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. With the trade deadline upon us, MLB.com says, here's one thing each major league team must do. Here's what they have for the Giants. Are you guys in or out on this? I'm totally out. I do not want to do this. I don't think this would be a very smart trade by Farhan. But what do you think of this? MLB.com says, the one thing the Giants must do is trade for Craig Kimbrel. Now, if I could get him for a box of baseballs, depending on how many baseballs, because they are expensive, I'd consider it. But I think he's going to be very expensive. I think the Giants have other more pressing needs. Trade for Craig Kimbrel. I'm out on that.
Yeah, it depends on what you're giving up, but I would lean out on that as well. Not to say that that's not the area of most important need for the Giants, because I actually still think closer and bullpen more specifically is still the greatest need. I think you could make a case that the Giants actually need two relievers, somebody else from the right-handed side that you could throw into the mix if you got to go away from Tyler Rogers or Jake McGee, and maybe one more lefty that you're comfortable with pitching a full inning in key high-leverage situations. So I know starters popped up lately. Maybe that group is running out of gas, Dibs, but I still think going and getting one more reliever is of the utmost importance, even if it isn't the biggest name at the top of the board.
And that's why I'm going to go Elton John with a Kimbrel in the Wind and say that is the guy you need to bring in, Whitey. And I know famously our guy Mark Kreidler had an homage to Jason Campbell and a Kimbrel in the Wind.
Sure.
Yeah. But to get a guy to go back end to be your ninth inning closer, to me, is maybe not the greatest need, but it is a need. And look at L.A. Yesterday they went to Joe Kelly for his first save of the year, and coming up in last night in our league, we'll get into the machinations of the Dodgers and what they're trying to do. But right now, they've got real turmoil at the back end. The Padres are struggling with their rotation, and yet they added a bat. So for me, if you could shore up your pen with a real closer, and I love Jake McGee in the eighth, and Tyler Rogers in the seventh, by the way, has been unreal, but you get a real ninth inning guy, and now you've got action.
Yeah, I think they need to focus more on a starting pitcher, and I know that's going to be difficult because that's what the Padres are focusing on, and that's what the Dodgers supposedly are focusing on. And we know that it looks like Max Scherzer could actually be on the market. I don't know that the Giants would be able to pay what it's going to cost against Max Scherzer. We'll see if the Dodgers do. But if you are able to land any starting pitching, JD, you know, next year you don't even have a rotation. The way it looks right now, you got so many guys on one-year deals, you could actually kill two birds with one stone if you can bring in somebody under club control who can help you, help out the staff, and bolster your effort for the rest of this year and also help you next year. That, to me, sounds like the type of smart, both help you now and down the road move that Farhan would be interested in. And I know this isn't a name that's going to blow anybody away, but how about somebody like, see, I'm not even going to say it because you guys are going to make fun if I say Merrill Kelly of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Who are you?
Yeah. That doesn't do a lot for me, Whitey. Yeah.
Well, no, because that's the type of move Farhan's going to make, though, right? How about Rich Rodriguez? How about if you get Rich Rodriguez from the Pirates along with Tyler Anderson, who was here before. Brian,
what are you talking about? Yeah.
But you got to look at what he may realistically do. He's not going to go out and get Max Scherzer.
Rodriguez would work. Rodriguez would actually be at the top of the reliever list.
Yeah,
but but as far as they need a starter too, Whitey. Don't dibs. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I need a reliever and a starter. But it's got to be a starter that I'm with you, Whitey. Is going to be somebody that's going to be around beyond 2021.
And if you're going to get a Merrill, you need to have him be on Mount Merrill more. And right now, I've got that as Merrill Lynch, Merrill Steubing, Merrill Hodge, and a Merrill to be named later.
Streep?
Merrill Streep.
Thank you. Thank you.
Merrill Kelly, he's throwing the heck out of the ball lately, you guys. Don't sleep on Merrill Kelly. All right. I'm sorry I mentioned it. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, too.
Keep an eye on it. Hey, download the Odyssey app and discover hundreds of new exclusive music stations available now. It's an app for sports and music fans by sports and music fans. Check out Tailgate Crashers. Crack open a cold one. Get game day ready with tunes from all your country faves. The new Odyssey exclusive stations on the Odyssey app, brought to you in part by Macy's and Geico. Coming up next, could the Warriors be in a Beal bind with their big three? That's next. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
High and deep into right center field. It is out of here. Into the 415, and this game is tied. He's got 11.
I don't think I've ever rooted harder in my life for Giants to hit home runs right now, Parker, just to hear that call.
Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. How great was it, Dibs and JD, to hear Dwayne Kuiper back in the booth? Tuned in Saturday. It's like, hey, I think that's Dwayne Kuiper. What a treat that was. And he sounds great. He sounds better than ever.
He does. Yeah, sounds incredible and a great moment with Kipe surprising Kruko coming into the booth right before game time. And you could just see, Dibs, the genuine just love and admiration and friendship between those two.
Just the way he looked when he sees him, the surprise, the joy.
Yeah.
And it's easy to say, oh, they're the best in baseball. I haven't heard every crew, But when you hear neutral observers put him in the top three, top five, and how much we beloved him, they probably are the best tandem as far as, you know, play-by-play and color commentator. And the fact that Kipe, as a former player, is one of the best play-by-play guys in the business tells you all you need to know about the tandem. And we love Dave Fleming and, of course, John Miller, Ford C. Frick Award winner, Cooperstown Hall of Famer. If you go one through four, I'll take these four against just about any team in baseball.
Yeah. Dibs, I got a question. Lamont Wade Jr., I mean, I know the dynamics of this question, but who is he? Where did he come from, and how is he doing this?
And what the hell is going on, and how is it happening, and why didn't other teams see this? It's the who, what, where, when, why, how of the Lamont Wade Jr. story. And yesterday, he didn't single-handedly win that game, but he single-handedly won that game. I mean, leadoff home run, you set the tone, two bombs and a double. And Logan Webb, who's been not scuffling, but he's been just a click away from being super sharp to get early runs, gives a young pitcher that confidence. And, you know that helps on the way, whether it's trade deadline or Crawford coming back, Longoria, eventually Belt, theoretically, Tommy La Stella. In the meantime, you need someone to step up. And Lamont Wade Jr., JD, you look up and he's got 12 home runs. How? I mean, the guy was a bit player. He was shuttling between AAA and the bigs. And now it feels like Brandon Belt, go ahead and stay on the IL, B.
Yeah, and you look at Wade, and he's a player that was sort of the 4A kind of a player that the Twins didn't think Whitey could hit for much power. But Farhan Zaidi saw something in his swing that they thought they could change and tweak a little bit to provide more pop. And he's hit more home runs now in the big leagues than he has at any level coming up through the minor leagues, which is incredible. And he is sort of indicative, Whitey, of the success that Farhan has had in this 21 campaign and building this roster. It's everything working to the greatest extent to put the Giants at the top of the bigs.
Yeah, in the off seasons, every team in every sport, they turn things over to a degree. They bring in new guys. And it's very unusual for all of those moves to work. And that's one of the reasons the Giants have been so stunningly surprising this year. If you go back and look at everything Farhan and the front office did in this offseason, well, let's re-sign Gausman. Maybe he'll pitch like he did last year. Boom! Hit on that one. Di Sclafani, maybe he'll have a bounce back year. He's been great. Let's bring in Alex Wood. He's been exceptional, right? Let's bring back our three veterans. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, you could argue, I guess, that La Stella hasn't worked out. He's been hurt. The book's not closed on him yet. Let's get this kid Lamont Wade Jr. Bam, bam, bam. So that's one of the keys to the Giants' surprising success. Dibs, just about everything that Farhan tried in the offseason, he hit on.
And you give Kapler credit, too, because he's allowed these players to flourish, and he's allowed them to be in a position where they can succeed. Yeah. You saw the video, I'm sure, over the weekend with Kurt Casale and Gabe Kapler doing a little shadow box routine where Kapler turned his hat backwards, and they were duking it out playfully in the dugout. The fact that Kapler is a younger manager, former player, I think he's kind of let these guys be, and he's embraced the veterans and the veteran culture that came before him while also infusing this new way of doing things. Captain Spreadsheet, as I call him, JD, because it's about matchups, it's about math, but at the same time, he's putting these actual human beings in a place where they know when they're going to be used and they know when they need to contribute, and guys, for the most part, have stepped up and done it.
That's the biggest adjustment, I think, from the beginning of last year for Gabe Kapler, really toward the end of last year, but especially this year, is, of course, the Giants have matchups that they want to play, and a lot of it is dictated by the numbers and the spreadsheet, and you want to get this matchup against this pitcher. But I do think Gabe Kapler has been more open as time has gone on to letting a guy stay out there maybe for an extra hitter or two, or not automatically pinch hitting for somebody in every spot where the spreadsheet would say, no, the righty has to come in here. If a guy maybe is having a good night or got a big hit earlier, he'll stick with them. And I think those are the kinds of things that go a long way toward fostering the kind of culture really that the Giants have had throughout this season.
By the way,
How many, show of hands here, how many people have the same number of hits against left-handed major league pitching this year as Lamont Wade Jr.? How many? Yep. One. Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah. How about that?
Show of hands is always good radio. I appreciate you bringing the old school back.
It's kind of a 40, bit, you know?
Yeah.
Point was, everybody, if you're listening, raise your hand. We're all tied.
No, that's why they keep those hands at 2-10, 10-2, Whitey.
One.
Thank you.
One of the big needs, I think they need another right-handed bat if they could get Starling Marte or somebody. Because JD, and we'll get to the Warriors in just a second here, but you look at the lineups right now, they're forced to play lefties against lefties in ways that they don't want to just because of a little bit of a roster crunch.
I wonder if Brandon Belt coming back, and I know he's a left-handed hitter, but somebody that throughout the course of his career has been comfortable hitting against left-handed pitching and just being more of an everyday player, I wonder if he comes back and that can allow maybe a Darren Ruff to go back into the outfield against left-handed pitching, and where, yes, Lamont Wade Dibbs has been more productive than Brandon Belt in many seasons to this point.
Wow.
It feels to me
it's
like...
Unbelievable. How is that
happening? It feels to me like you get Belt back in there who's used to being more of an everyday guy, and then maybe that can lengthen the way that you use others, and maybe that can help you in that outfield where maybe you don't have to go get as expensive a player in terms of giving up capital.
For me, that's where the Evan Longoria becomes maybe more important, because then you can use Wilmer Flores as your righty pinch hitter off the bench, and you can start to use your bench in different ways. Because, guys, right now, let's put the rat on the table when it comes to late-game tight scenario pinch hitting. If it's Talkman and Casale and Vossler. I mean, Vossler's come through, big walk the other night. Talkman's had a couple of big hits, and Casale's
had his moments.
Moments, yes, but if you're getting into September, October, and you need a big-time pinch-hit appearance, you don't have a lot of faith right now in what the Giants have.
Yeah, I guess you could also argue the Casale move hasn't worked out exactly the way the Giants hope, but he's been a contributor. Now, speaking of deals, with the Warriors looking at the draft coming up, the Warriors may be in position to make a deal. Very interesting this weekend, we found out that Bradley Beal could be considering a trade. This quote-unquote news broke Saturday, right? We first got an indication that according to sources, Bradley Beal considering a trade request. The initial reportage came from Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, and he cited not Bradley Beal, but people familiar with his thinking, who said Bradley Beal may be considering a trade, and he knows he would have to ask for one by the draft. Well, that was interesting. There was some pushback on that almost immediately, but then The Athletic followed up on that and said, Bradley Beal was not too thrilled that his first choice for head coach, Sam Cassell, did not get a second interview. One of the reasons Bradley Beal has loved being in D.C. is because they listen to him, and he feels like, all right, maybe I don't have as much influence. So it does look like there is a chance that Bradley Beal could ask out of D.C., and if he does, the Warriors would be interested. There's more to it than that, but what do you guys make of this reporting on Bradley Beal and the chances that he does ask for a trade?
Well, it opens the door for the Warriors to maybe get in the mix, and it was reported by Woj over the weekend that really Bradley, it's a one-shot deal, Dibs. If the Warriors can figure out a way to get Bradley Beal, they would strongly consider it or look toward trying to make it happen, but he's the only superstar at this point that even could be available that would make it worth their while. I still don't see how just offering 7 and 14 and maybe Andrew Wiggins is going to get you Bradley Beal if you're talking to the Wizards.
It feels like it would take one more pick or one more recent pick, maybe a 7'1" player with a tremendous amount of upside. But to me, 7 and 14 for Beal, if I'm Washington, I hang up immediately. Kind of like when you get those calls from the various telemarketers and you think it's a friend's number, and so you answer it.
Hello.
And then you have to say hello again because it's not until the second hello that it clicks in. And, hey, is this Mr. Dibley? All right. Look, you jerk. Lose my number. That's kind of the way it would go, I think, if you offered up just two picks for Beal.
Here's what Woj and Zach Lowe had to say about the Warriors and the Bradley Beal situation.
So I think, like a lot of the league, Golden State's going to wait, see how it goes with Bradley Beal. But short of Bradley Beal being available, I expect Golden State to use those picks at 7 and 14 this week.
Based on what we know right now,
the likeliest scenario is that Golden State makes picks 7 and 14 and rosters them onto the team. That's based on what we know right now at 1:30, whatever Eastern time. The Bradley Beal situation could simmer one way or another.
It's also possible that Bradley Beal says, hey, DC, I want out. He may not want to come here. That's possible. He can opt out after next year, so he has some leverage there because if he wanted to go, say, to Boston, there's some reports that he would rather go to Boston than Golden State. Let's say the Warriors were in and he was going to be sent here. Bradley Beal can let the Warriors know, you guys do what you want, but I ain't going to be there beyond this year. So he may not even want to come here. But I think if the Warriors have a chance to get Bradley Beal, if there's that chance, we don't know that there will be, but if there is, I think they have to go hard after Bradley Beal. If you want to be a championship contender next year, you have to get Bradley Beal if that's an option. If you don't get Bradley Beal and you bring in a couple picks, and maybe that's your only option, but if you pass on Beal and you bring in a couple picks, you could have a nice team next year, but you're not going to be a contender. If you get Beal, you could be a championship contender.
Could be, but will be is a different calculus here for me.
Sure.
So are you talking about doing a full-on cannonball off the high dive into the deep end, or are you looking to maybe wade in from the shallow end one step at a time?
You're talking about how much it's going to cost me?
Yeah, you're talking about like going all in on Bradley Beal. I mean, how much are you willing to risk for Bradley Beal, who may or may not want to be here long term?
If he's not willing to be here long term, yeah, there's no way. Then you're out. I'm out, my man. Have a good night.
I'm out.
Get that. I understand that. Here's the thing. What the Warriors are trying to do, JD, you and I have talked about this. It's really tricky. You win multiple championships with a core, and then you have a gap of a couple years. Then you try to win another championship or more with the same core. The only two teams I can think of who've ever done that, the Bulls did that with Pippen Jordan. They won 3. Then there's the gap. They come back and they win 3 more. The Spurs did it 05, 07, then a long gap till 2014. They did it with that same Ginobili, Parker, and Tim Duncan core. Both those teams, the Bulls and the Spurs, they added to their core. They added superstar-level talent. Dennis Rodman and Kukoc with the Bulls team, and then Kawhi eventually with the Spurs. So my point is, if you don't add someone like Bradley Beal, then your championship window could be slamming shut right in your face. And it's easy to say, 7-14, you're going to get some really good players. Kawhi was, the 15th pick? So you can get somebody as good as that. That's probably not going to happen. So if Beal's not available, I realize, you can't get him. But if he is, you have to go after him.
I just don't see how he would even be enough, considering what the Warriors would give up to get him. Enough of a fit, enough of a talent, however you want to stack it up. I mean, sure, he would help in the beginning of the upcoming season with Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. Probably not being in the equation for the first month, maybe two. But even when Klay Thompson comes back, you're talking about Andrew Wiggins having to go in that deal to make it work for salary cap purposes. So at that point, who's your starting three man? Klay Thompson? You're just going to have him play the three now, and that's going to be your finishing lineup? And even if you say, you know what, you're comfortable with that, you still don't have any 3-4 veteran wing-type players on the roster. You could conceivably going from Wiggins and Oubre to defenders who have that body type and that skill set to having neither one of them on the roster, and now you've got Bradley Beal, who's a shorter two-guard, Whitey, and you've also got Klay Thompson trying to bump up and play the three.
We're not worried about wings. We're not worried about a wing shortage. We're doing thighs now.
I like it, but the wing is actually more important. And ultimately, if you're not also serving some solid chicken breast there in your 4-5, which, by the way, you're not, because you've got Draymond at the 4 at 6, whatever, height doesn't matter, but he's not 6'9". Draymond's closer to 6'4 than he is 6'9".
Size and then matters.
It does fits when you're talking about the front court, and then you've got Kevon Looney, who is, you know, maybe a stretch 5 if he's your big, and James Wiseman eventually. That is a pretty petite team. I'm not sure if that team defensively has enough to rebound and defend against some of the bigger teams in the West.
It's 2021, And I think in today's NBA positionless basketball, I don't think, well, wait, would Beal be the three or Clay? I don't think that's the concern that it would have been in the past. But I understand your point. I just think if you bring Beal in, you could be a championship contender next year. And you're right. There's a lot of other things you got to figure out. If you're able to bring in Beal, you could be a contender next year. If you don't, I don't think you are. But let me ask you this, JD. JD, you brought this up before the show today. It's a great point. Could the Warriors be in a Beal bind with the big three? We know, right, that Clay and Dre and Steph, at least we think we know, that they want the team to be all in on Beal. What if Beal is available, and I know this is a lot of hypotheticals, and what if the Warriors are, we like him, but not that much? What does that do to your relationship now? All of a sudden, if you're Bob Myers, you got to do a delicate dance there, right, to appease your big three and let them know, oh, yeah, we're with you guys, but it would just cost too much. Could that be an issue, the likes of which this franchise has never faced before?
There'd be some potential for strain there, and I think it would also add pressure on the draft picks that would be being made at that point on Thursday. There's more pressure on Bob Myers, and I think there already is pressure to hit. If the Warriors make those picks, they need two players that are going to come in and be able to play in the rotation in the 21-22 season. If you go against the grain, Dibs, if you go against what your superstars that have already...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Brought you three titles, want to do, then you better nail those picks and prove to them that you made the right decision. Otherwise, you got bigger problems.
And you start to risk not losing the three of them because they're so deeply invested in what they've done and what this organization is. But as you move forward, and you know, let's be fair, you missed the playoffs this year, you missed the playoffs last year, and if you're heading for a third straight year with no offs, all of a sudden, JD, the core gets a little bit maybe more, I don't know, skeptical of what's going on?
Well, and quick thought here, Whitey. I mean, Stephen Curry hasn't signed this extension yet.
Right.
His max extension. And I know like Steph's not one to necessarily play hardball with that kind of a thing, but we've seen other superstar players go in and say, look, I'm not signing until you do blank, right? I mean, that was the thought behind Giannis. Ultimately decides to stay in Milwaukee, but went in and some things had to change. They made the trade for Jrue Holiday. They revamped their bench, and all of a sudden they wind up winning an NBA championship. Do you think Steph Curry would maybe not say he's not signing the Supermax extension until something gets done, but maybe make it out like make the Warriors a little bit nervous in the process?
Sure. Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, there are only so many options available, right? That was another one of the interesting things, and you touched on it, JD. The way Woj lays it out, it's like, it's Beal or nothing, and we've been looking at a lot of other possible players, like Siakam, maybe Siakam, Simmons. No, it looks like it's Beal or nothing. 888-957-9570, and I'm saying if you got a shot at Beal, you got to grab it. From the 831, Bradley Beal is not a good fit. Why are we bringing in a 6'3 guard? We already have Jordan Poole. Oh, come on. All right, that's an interesting point about a guard, but you think Bradley Beal's not night and day, light years better than Jordan Poole? From the 510, if you don't try for Beal, Tibbs, if you don't try for Beal, you're telling Steph Clandre that their opinion doesn't matter. At that point, you might as well trade them and get the most value out of them.
That's not totally true, in my opinion, because ultimately, as LaVar Ball would tell them, stay in your lane. You're players, and we're open to your input. But, you know, Draymond's not getting 4 years and $99 million to run the front office, and Steph is not staring down the barrel of a Supermax to be the GM. So your input's welcome, but ultimately, their job is to play. Now, if the Warriors go out and they blow 7-14, if when camp opens, JD, and those two draft picks come into the gym, and by practice number three, those veterans are looking around going, these guys stink, as I borrow from Steiny. Well, then now we have a different issue as far as credibility and, you know, what's going on. Because already James Wiseman, you've seen it from Draymond Green, who wears his emotions on his sleeve. At times, he hasn't been thrilled with the pick, to put it lightly.
Well, the one thing you can't have at any point is basically the two players that you pick not in the rotation. Hey, the season comes around, you've signed this veteran, that veteran, and it's go time. Maybe Klay Thompson, Whitey's not quite ready to roll yet. But then pick number seven, Steve Kerr, why is pick number seven not playing? Well, you know, defensively, he's just not there yet. It's going to take some time. We may send him down to Santa Cruz. You can't have that. Like, if you're going to make the picks, you absolutely cannot have that.
What if the Warriors get to seven? All right, the Beal thing, for one reason or the other, is just not happening. Maybe Beal never asks out. Whatever. So then the Warriors waiting on draft day, Dibs. And I know Bob Myers is going to be, you know, he's going to have you on the phone there to ask you what to do here. It's your turn to pick, and with the seventh choice, Jonathan Kuminga is there. He's fallen to seven. That doesn't seem likely, but it's certainly possible. Kuminga could be a transformational player, but not for a while yet. Right now, he's a ball stopper. He's very raw. He's a guy who you probably couldn't plug in next year to help a team, your championship core, get to that next level. But in the, down the road, he could be a great player. So do you draft Kuminga, which, again, could irritate your veterans? Like, oh, another guy who's not ready to play. We did that last year, and we told you we don't like that. So what would you do if Kuminga's there at seven?
Well, if I'm Barry Manilow and I'm concerned with somewhere down the road, then I'm taking Kuminga. But unfortunately, I'm not in a Manilow state of mind. You need.
I thought you were going to go Copa Kuminga.
I thought about it, but it would, I'm not that clever, Whitey. You know, his name is Jonathan. Yeah, but I think
okay, Dib.
Had you not made the Wiseman pick last year, then sure, I think Kuminga. At 18 years of age, by the way, he won't be 19 until October, so he's definitely a project. So if we're looking to win the FIBA Under-20 World Championship, then yeah, I'm taking Kuminga, but that's not how the NBA rolls when you've got three stars north of 30. I mean, Kuminga, he's young enough to be one of their guys' kids, quite frankly.
If Kuminga's on the board at seven, I'm calling every other team in the league, if I'm Bob Myers, and I'm
you
saying, let's come up with something.
Hello?
You want Kuminga? Because I think a lot of teams would at that point. Maybe move up, give up a veteran piece. You figure something out that can help you in the short term.
How good can the Warriors be? And we can't necessarily answer this now. It's something we'll be trying to answer all week long. How good can the Warriors be next year with two more draft picks? If they use 7 and 14, as Woj says, I expect them to use 7 and 14. That's what's most likely. If that happens, if that's what it comes down to.
Four crimes.
Wow, that's pretty good. I didn't expect that. How good can they be next year? Obviously, hey, you can only do what you can do if there are no trade partners. But, boy, I think that's a great question. And we'll be struggling or endeavoring to answer that all day long, all week long here. The Bonanza is upon us here on 95.7 The Game. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Somebody needs to tell the Seattle Mariners they stink because they don't seem to realize it yet. That's coming up in Last Night in Our League, and that's sponsored by MB Jesse Painting. It's your business, high-rise, or HOA in need of a quality painting now that teams are returning to offices. MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area, completing projects on time. Get a free quote today from the Bay Area's painting experts at mbjesse.com. Steiny Guru and Dibs with Dibs, Whitey, and JD today on 95.7 The Game.
Two balls outside.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Today, featuring Dibs, Whitey, and John Dickinson. And we've got Last Night in Our League coming right up here. Dibs, before we get to that, I know you've been glued to the Olympic Games. What has jumped out at you? And how's your quest to win gold based on how much gold the USA wins? How's that going?
It's looking more like a bronze right now than it is a gold.
Oh, no.
And I hate to assign blame so early in the Olympiad. And good morning.
This started. Is,
yeah, it started, but it's also ended because my hope, I pinned it all on one female swimmer, Katie Ledecky, and the fact that she came up silver. And it's good. Silver's great. Yeah, it's second place. Set of steak knives, yeah. Famously. And I think she gets more than that. But I was kind of banking on old Katie Ledecky to bring home the bacon fried up in the pan. And by the way, and I know coming up at 11:48, that's a problem with John Dickinson, yeah, and the men's basketball team. But I was kind of banking on that gold as well. And they may not make it out of group. What the hell is going on with the U.S. men's basketball team? And quietly, if they come short of gold, I cannot wait for the Kevin Durant tweet storm and the Instagram post. It just all of the defending of what happened if they fall short. I'm quietly kind of looking forward to that.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they should be fine. At least they're going to get out of this round. They got to play Iran, and then they got to play, what, Czech Republic with Saransky and Jan Vesely. So I know yesterday was really hard to watch, kind of uninspired basketball. But
France took them behind Le Woodshed.
I know.
The spread was 11.5. And JD, I mean, you take France and the points, and you sit back and you just laugh. You eat croissants, you drink champagne and escargot. And you wallow in the beating. That game was just an absolute beatdown after halftime.
It was, and you know what? I'm not going to spoil the bit, but I'm fuming right now just hearing you guys talk about it.
Yeah. All right. There was. Yeah, I'll save it too. Did you guys see that? I gotta get this off my chest. USA is down two, right? There's less than a minute to go. They're down two, and so they missed three threes, and then at that point, Yabusele of French, going for a rebound. He gets clocked in the face, right? And he's prone. He's hit in the face, and he's on the floor. He's face down on the floor, which means USA is down two. They have the ball, and it's 5-on-4, and they could not score. They missed two more shots. Oh. 5-on-4.
Big,
I've never seen that
choke
before.
Artist.
I coached, you know, girls youth basketball for many years. I've never seen anything like that. I was dumbfounded, Dibs.
There's a power play, and you got to score on the power play.
Yeah,
especially when
Miss
France is without a player of the caliber of Yabusele, you've got to be able to. I can't even
bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Up at 11:48, JD goes off with that's a problem.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. He's already getting red. I wish you folks in the car could see on the Zoom. JD has a lovely olive complexion, and since he lost pounds, he's never looked better. But the cheeks are getting red. The steam's coming out of the ears. I love it. That's a problem. Debuts today at 11:48.
Right now, it's time for Last Night in Our League.
Man, and boy, JD would have been hot, hot, hot had this game gone differently. But our headline ball game from last night in our league, the Giants avoid the sweep by beating the Bucks.
Wade sends one deep to right and toward that tall wall. That's out of here. He's homered again. Somebody stop Lamont Wade Jr.
Junior?
Can't do it. That was Greg Brown on 93.7. The Fan, two homers and a double. Wilmer Flores, Tyro Estrada went deep as well. Alex Wood, his ninth win. JD, that was a big, deep breath kind of ball game for your Giants.
Yeah, they had to get that one. And Jay Jackson getting out of a big jam. The Pirates putting some pressure on in the middle innings. He comes in, gets a big double play. The Giants go ahead and add on after that. It was a 2-1 game at the time. Looked like the Pirates just, they were a handful all weekend, Whitey. But just getting that win to calm things down. I think sometimes you have to look at the week itself, big picture. A 4-3 week, considering everything that happened, all the emotions and the wins at Dodger Stadium, I think at this point, as much as the weekend was a letdown, you have to take that if you're the Giants.
Dibs, I know you and I, Friday, we touched on the possibility of a letdown against the Pirates, and I don't know about you, I think I kind of undersold it, but that was a classic trap series, if there is such a thing, sandwiched between two Dodger series. Maybe that's what went wrong.
Yeah, and the fact that you had to pitch Talkman on Saturday, and you know Friday was a game you probably should have won, and then you come into Sunday and you need it oh so badly. And Lamont Wade Jr. out of nowhere, he's got 12 home runs, guys. I mean, that Brandon Belt dreams about a year this productive. So Giants and Dodgers begin tomorrow. And speaking of L.A., the shorthanded Dodgers snuck past Colorado.
High fly ball, left center field. He might have just gotten under it, but it kept going! It kept going! It's gone! And the Dodgers lead! Oh, it scraped the clouds!
Energizer Bunny home run from Joe Davis. It keeps going and going and going on Spectrum Sportsnet LA. Chris Taylor hit his 16th. He homered twice. Will Smith went deep as well. JD, that Dodger lineup didn't have Bellinger, Betts, Seager, Muncy, and yet they still gutted one out.
Yeah, found a way to get a win, and no Mookie Betts for the three-game series when the Dodgers are up here at Oracle Park beginning tomorrow night. So the Giants catch a little bit of a break there, but the Dodgers hanging tough. The Rockies were a handful for them all weekend, much the way the Pirates were for the Giants. And you look at the Dodgers, I keep coming back to the trade deadline and the rumors, Whitey. It's just big name after big name tied to not only the Dodgers but the Padres. Plus the sentiment, I don't know if you guys saw the report in The Athletic that Dodger players are basically, they don't want Trevor Bauer to even come back, which I think adds to the organization having to go out and fortify the loss of him on the field, even though maybe everybody's ready to have him out of that clubhouse.
And the top three in the National League West are all off today. So with the Padres making the deal for Frazier yesterday, a lot of people think things could start popping big time today. Keep an eye on, hate to say it, Dibs, as you know, Max Scherzer to the Dodgers.
Man, and they probably need, quote-unquote, another pitcher. And the Bauer news is continuing to be shocking and stunning. And his career could be over. This season feels over. The career in real jeopardy. Game number three, Darvish dominated as the Marlins mauled the Padres.
The moment, the pitch, lifted high into the air to left by Brinson. Oh my, he got into this, and it is up, up and away. A three-run home run for Lewis Brinson, and a five-run sixth inning so far.
Dave Van Horn, Roxy's old partner, Marlins Radio Network 9-3, the final. The Marlins got a split of the four-game set. Yu Darvish, JD, 0-3 with a 7.32 over his last four starts. I'm not positive, but is that any good?
That is not good, and I think he would be the guy that would be in line to maybe pitch a wild card game for the Padres. I know they'll have some options, and maybe the option isn't even on their roster yet, Whitey, but the Padres, mm-hmm. There's something missing. They're a good team, but there's been something missing all year. They haven't been able to get on the kind of run that the Giants and the Dodgers have to this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've said that all along. I mean, this is a team that still really hasn't done anything at a nice half year last year. They're starting pitching this year. They haven't gotten the traction with that they hoped. Something to keep an eye on with Darvish. A, he's been hurt. B, you look at his struggles and you wonder if maybe he misses the sticky stuff. I don't know. But the Padres, here they are, you know, looking up at the Dodgers and the Giants, and they're hearing something behind. What? Yep, what's that behind us? I mean, they got the Reds creeping up on them for the second wild card. So they got their hands full, and the Padres are probably going to be very, very busy at the deadline.
Yeah, Reds still 5.5 back of the Padres. I don't know if that qualifies as creeping up. I mean, that's still
right there, Dibs.
Yeah, it's pretty far back in the rearview mirror. If you're on I-5 in the fast lane and you look in the rearview mirror and you see the Reds, you're not moving over just yet. They're not knocking on your door. San Diego, by the way, hosting the A's tomorrow. Yeah. Speaking of the A's, the fade continues as the Mariners. So you want to talk about a creep. The Mariners are creeping closer.
Swing and a ground ball skips into left field for a base hit. France scores easily from third.
So
meanwhile, Seager advances to second. Luis Torrens stings a run scoring single to left, and he has put the Mariners in front with two outs. It's now 3-2.
Aaron Goldsmith, 710 ESPN, Seattle 4-3, the final. No extra base hits for Seattle, yet they get within 1.5 of the second wild card. Matt Olson hit his 27th. JD, the A's have dropped 18 of 30.
Yeah, I keep waiting for them to get on their typical second half A's run, and it just hasn't happened. They look like a team that needs an infusion, in particular in the bullpen. I'd throw their name into the list of teams like the Giants and others that are going to be maybe vying for some of that bullpen help along the way. But yeah, I mean, you look at the A's still holding that second wild card spot, Whitey, but they need help. They need to push forward.
Yeah, the Mariners kind of stink like a Seattle fish market on a hot day. They just don't know it yet. They're playing well. They've been fortunate. Their record in one-run games is exceptional, which the analytics tell you when you do that, that doesn't mean necessarily that your clutch or your bullpen's this or that. It means you've been fortunate. So I don't think the A's need to worry about the Mariners, but obviously the A's need to worry about the A's. A lot of A's fans are starting to get discouraged, Dibs. They don't have a lot of confidence that the front office is going to go out and do what this team needs them to do in terms of acquiring talent, spending money to acquire that talent at the deadline.
Feels more like a sell than a buy. And by the way, Seattle 23-11 over their last 34, so they are playing great baseball. Finally, the Astros ridicule the Rangers and increase the lead in the West.
The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Got him on a high breaking ball.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.